Any of the children are going to Sunday school, you can leave at this time if you want to go. There's snacks in Sunday school. And you can't be 40 years old and go to Sunday school. Okay, you got to stay right here. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Micah. That's one of the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. If that doesn't help, turn to the index and find what page it's on. It's great instruction here. You know, the Bible says, God delighteth in mercy. And that's a blessing. Last week we preached on being Christ-like. And it says about us to show mercy with cheerfulness. I want to speak on mercy today, and everybody is glad to receive mercy. You'll see as we get into the message, it's just a wonderful thing, and it's a gift from God. And God shows mercy upon us, we'll see that in the scripture, but he puts that in the hearts of his children to have mercy on other people. And it just keeps on working. It says about Abraham that God blessed Abraham and made him a blessing. When God does something for us, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, and then we are to love everybody. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. So what God puts in our heart, it comes out and it's a blessing to other people. And so you have that cycle that goes over and over and over. And JR, you're a blessing to me, I'm a blessing to you. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. That's how that works. So we'll just read one verse here. This is instruction. This is God speaking. In verse 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for being so kind to us, so merciful. Thank you for your grace. Lord, we could go on, and I pray that what you put in us, we might be a blessing to others. Bless us with your mercy today that we might be merciful. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, as you read that verse, it's a great verse, but it says to do justly. That's active. That's doing the right thing. That's living a righteous life and all of the things that would be under that, to do justly. Then the third thing is to walk humbly. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, but we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. This is the way, walk ye in it, God tells us in his word. So we find out what he says to us and we follow him. So that's a pretty active thing. So you have to do justly and to walk humbly. In the middle of that is to love mercy. That's active also. We love to receive mercy, but I think the thought here is to love mercy or to show mercy. And again, that's the blessing of the Lord that's in us. Amen. I heard a preacher preach one time, and in the middle of his message, he says, have you ever heard of the silent sermon? And so he got up and he went like this. I'll be quiet for just a minute. He went, and that was receiving something from the Lord in prayer and then being a blessing to other people. Amen? So God does that for us. And I think that's a great thing. Oh, how I love thy law. So we love mercy. We love the word. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. And if you love me, you keep my commandments. So it leads to something. Amen? And so this is something God is telling us to do. There's a man by the name of Webster, and he wrote the 1828 dictionary. He uses a lot of Bible definitions, but he wrote this about mercy. It's a little lengthy. It's quite a few sentences, but if you try and follow along, I think it will all be profitable. Mercy is that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Who's the money guy? Dave Ramsey. They say, how you doing? He says, better than I deserve. Amen. It goes on, the disposition that tempers justice. and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries, and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. And he said, in this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. There's no word like it. It's a great word. Amen? And all through the scripture, especially in the Psalms, you find God is having mercy on us. He's a merciful God. But all through the scriptures, we find his mercy and his grace. And when you experience that, it is life-changing to see how good God is to us in spite of who we are. Because we're all sinners saved by grace. It's grace that saves us. Amen. It's not our works. And so we get saved by grace. And what is that? That's a blessing. Amen. It's all a blessing. All from God. Again, last week we spoke on being Christ-like. And so here's the instruction. And the instruction comes from his word and his spirit. Thy word is truth. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. So it's a combination. Sometimes lost people or sometimes Christians that really aren't focused on what God has done, they don't hear that word in their heart. It's just in their ears. So he says, let us hear what the Spirit saith unto us in our hearts. That's a good thing to do. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, Paul is saying. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. How does he do that? How does God teach us to love one another? With his Spirit, amen, and with his word. So he does that, and he teaches us from the word. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, even as I, the Lord your God, am holy. We have Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So for Christ's sake, we forgive you. Amen? And we're kind one to another. And it just goes on and on and on. There's so many verses. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it says there some great, great truths, but he says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He delights to do the will of God. And so he humbles himself, and the reason he came into this world was to die for our sins. So he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility leads to sacrifice. And I think the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made is the cross of Christ, where he died and paid for the sins of all mankind. My wife and I were sitting in the living room today, and we have a radio in there. And we were listening to Pensacola Christian College, and they had some music on. And one song came on that I had never heard before. Great, great song. And so I copied a little bit of it. I wanted to read it. The name of the song is His Life for Mine. If you can, Google it. Go on YouTube. Listen to it today. You will really enjoy it. But it says, his heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. I mean, any one of those lines are just wonderful to us. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. Isn't that amazing? We gave him our sin. He gave us his righteousness. He saved us. The chorus goes, his life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's son would die to save a wretch like me? What love divine, he gave his life for me. That's a blessing. Would you like me to sing that to you today? Yeah, I'll bet you would. Okay, moving right along. In Luke 6:36, the Bible says, be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So we look at this great example of Almighty God, and we see how he was merciful, and then God says, that's what I want you to do. Amen? It's real easy instruction, but it's a blessing. Last week, we used Psalm 90, verse 14, satisfy us with thy mercy. And then we also used Psalm 107, verse 9, he satisfieth the longing soul. So if we want that mercy, God will allow us to be merciful. We experience it, we share it. It's a blessing to receive mercy, and we could have testimonies about that. The mercy of God, it's just a blessing. But it's also a blessing to give mercy. When God gives you mercy, he expects us to share that mercy with other people. And so that's the whole cycle. Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that an interesting thing? And so those are the words of the Lord Jesus. They're the words of Almighty God. We have in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. And when they obtain mercy, they'll be merciful. And then they'll obtain more mercy. And it goes around and around and around. It's such a blessing. Amen? Now, not everybody may love you, but when you share the love of Christ, that love is going to come back to you. You're going to experience it in some way, even if it's God doing it for you. But God will put people in your life. Such a blessing. Let me see, where are we? Proverbs 11:17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. So if you want the blessing, be merciful. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, the Bible describes a tabernacle. God gave instruction how to build the tabernacle. And then he talked about the mercy seat, which was behind the veil. I won't go into all the different furniture there. But he talked about the mercy seat. And God said this. He called it a mercy seat. In Hebrews, he says a throne of grace. There you have mercy and you have grace, two wonderful attributes of God given to us. But it says about the mercy seat in Exodus 30 and verse 6, the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. God is saying that. I'll meet you at the mercy seat. So the merciful man, he's experienced the mercy of God and he's giving that mercy. And that's where God meets with us. Amen? Everybody needs mercy. You ever go to a restaurant and have a crummy waitress or waiter and your food's cold and they got a bad attitude and what do? Well, the best thing to do is take the plate and rub it in their face, right? And knock over a couple chairs and throw over a couple. That's how you straighten them out, right? No, maybe leave them an extra tip. Amen? If you have a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, follow me to Fellowship Bible Church, you don't want to be yelling at people that aren't good drivers. I know there's some, I won't describe them, but I know there's some bad drivers out there. Amen? But we don't know what the waitress went through. We don't know what the waiter went through. Maybe their home's breaking up. Maybe they has illness in the family. I don't know what it is. Maybe they just are away from God. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of mercy. It's hard to do sometimes, but when you do that, God blesses that. Well, there's a lot of stories in the Bible about unmerciful people. Matthew 6 tells us, as well as Luke, the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer when they said, teach us to pray. They said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There it is again. We forgive those who trespass against us. God forgives us. It just keeps circling around and God meets us there. Matthew chapter 18, there was a man and it's a parable, it's a story, but it has great meaning. And there was a man, he worked for his master, but he stole from him, he owed him all kinds of money, an exorbitant amount of money. And they were going to throw him in prison and all these bad things were going to happen to him. And he said, have mercy on me. forgive me. And his master forgave him all the debt. You remember that story? Matthew 18? He forgave everything. And then this man, who everything was forgiven, went and found somebody owed him some money, just pennies, just a little bit. And it says he took him by the throat and he said, pay me all or you're going to be in real trouble. That's my paraphrase. But he says, you pay me everything. Well, the master heard about it and he said, how could you do that? Now I'm going to judge you. He was shown mercy, but he didn't show mercy, and therefore he experienced judgment. We're all receiving the mercy of God, are we not? I mean, and as we receive that mercy, God says, be merciful like I'm merciful, and that'll be a blessing to you. And when we do that, God meets with us. He uses us in somebody's life. It's absolutely life-changing. Again, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. There's a lot of one another verses. We'll look at those in a minute. But God wants us. We are his instruments down here. And God has allowed us to be enlightened, to understand salvation, to know what it is to be filled with the Spirit, to understand how to use the Bible to comfort other people. And he expects us to do that. And we can be a blessing in so many lives if we do that. And if we don't, we're not doing what he called us to do. It's not preacher, missionary, full-time worker. It's Christian. Amen? We just serve the Lord. I want to look today at those who showed mercy. And maybe we won't get into a lot of that. I do have some examples in the Bible. But our Lord is the example. And we'll look at some of that. And again, it's just, teach us, Lord. Give us understanding. Put that desire in our heart. And he does over and over. In all these Bible stories, he tells us how to be merciful like he is merciful. It's not always getting our way. It's not always being right. It's mercy. We're not always right, and God's merciful to us. Amen. Obviously, the greatest example was our Lord. There's a story back in Genesis chapter 18 and 19. And God, because of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, God is going to destroy those cities. Lot, who is Abraham's nephew, is living in Sodom. It's a wicked city. He should have never gone there. And the previous scriptures bear that out. So here's Lot. And in chapter 18, Abraham starts praying for his nephew. And says, God, I know you're going to destroy the city. God revealed that to Abraham. Please, if there's 50 righteous people in the city, will you spare the city? Just 50 righteous in the whole city. And God says, I'll do that. And then Abraham says, would you do it for 45? And God says, I'd do it for 45. You say, are you going to go through all of these? Well, not all of them, but some of them. And so then he says, God, will you do it? If there's just 40 righteous people in the whole city, will you spare the city? And God says, okay, Abraham, you're my friend. I'll spare the city. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15. And then Abraham says, Lord, please forgive me. Please. I know I've asked a lot, but would you spare the city for 10? Just 10 righteous? And God says, I'll spare it for 10 righteous. You know who those 10 righteous were? It was Lot and his wife and his two sons-in-laws and his two daughters, or two sons and his four daughters. That was 10 people. And you'll see that if you read chapter 18 and chapter 19. That is his family. He went unto his sons, but he seemed unto them as one that mocked. He said, God's going to judge. Isn't that the way it is today? We tell our loved ones God's judgment is coming. Well, all things continue as they were since the Father fell asleep, and there are mockers and scorners, and Peter tells us about that. But he seemed unto them as one that mocked. He didn't have much of a testimony. And so God is going to bring judgment, and he sends two angels there, and they come to Lot. And there's a real story in that too. But They said, let's go. And here's the verse I want to draw your attention to with that bit of background. Genesis 19:16. While he lingered, think of that. God's going to destroy this city. Man, I'd be the first one out. Amen? I mean, I'd have the car running, you know, and I'd be out of Dodge. But it says, while he lingered. Why in the world would you linger? While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. You see these angels, and they've got a hold of his wife, him, and his two daughters. And it says, the Lord being merciful unto him. Not one word in your Bible is just haphazardly thrown in there. Not one phrase. Well, where did this come from? God put that in the book. Amen? And he says, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Sometimes God does things in our lives and we think it's forceful or it's not the way we would want it. And God is really showing mercy to us. He's really being merciful to us. Amen? And we don't understand it. Well, I just want to stay a little longer. And God does this. He's merciful. He's a merciful God. Nehemiah chapter 9. If you want, you can turn there, but you don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to, because I'm going to be jumping all over here. The children of Israel had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. They're coming back into the land. They're going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. They're rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. They're coming back into their land. And in chapter 9, it talks about they're standing up. I'll just read the verse. Verse 3, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord God. I mean, they are so happy. God's delivered us. Look, we're building our city again. You'd have to do a little bit of study in history to really appreciate that. But the Levites get up and they say, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be the glorious name which is exalted above all blessing and praise. So they're like preachers, and they're these people, for half of the day, they're praising God and confessing their sin. It's an amazing scene. And so these preachers are preaching, and it says they're going through the history. Verse 7, thou art the Lord God who did choose Abraham and brought him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. And it talks about Abraham for a little while. It says in verse 9, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt. And it talks about the dividing of the Red Sea. This is all in Nehemiah chapter 9. Moreover, verse 12, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherewith or wherein they should go. It's all of this. Look what God did with Abraham. Look what God did out of Egypt. Look what God did in the wilderness. Isn't God good? They're confessing their sin. They're saying, isn't God wonderful? You ever been there? I mean, you're just so happy in God that he's done so much for you. But we drop down a little bit, verse 9, or verse 16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to the commandments and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to bondage. What would you do to those snakes? What would you do to those evil people? What would you do? You know what God did? Same verse. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Isn't that a blessing that that's in your Bible? Verse 19, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The Bible says in verse 27, according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of the enemy. But after that they had rest, they did evil again. Okay, I gave you one chance. I gave you two chances. That's it. You mess up again and that's it. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. That's in this chapter. And it says, Yet they returned, but boy, I should have marked this. But according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors. Well, I read that. But after they had rest, they did evil again. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times thou didst deliver them according to thy mercies. Just over and over and over. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. Amen. The mercy seat, the throne of grace. Doesn't matter what your life is. All you have to do is come to God. He's always got mercy. He's always got grace. Isn't that wonderful? And well, you know, since I've been saved, and everybody has a story. But God is good. He's so good. Psalm 103. Again, you don't have to turn there. It's a familiar psalm. But I just want you to get this idea. It starts out, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. He daily loads us with benefits. I mean, it goes on and on. But in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's more than fair with us. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Isn't that a blessing? It's just a blessing, the mercy of God. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is going somewhere, and the crowds are gathering, and he's walking through the crowds. And there's a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. He's an old beggar. He's got old beggar rags on, and he can't see. And when he perceives that the Lord is pretty close, he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And people are saying, shut up. He doesn't want to talk to you. Be quiet. Leave him alone. And so he cries louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord stood still. For that one man, that useless man that the world thought was useless, that one man, Jesus stood still. And he says, what can I do for you? And he says, oh, that I could have my sight. And the Lord gave him his sight right there. Have mercy on me. Luke 18. A Pharisee and a publican went into the temple to pray. The Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I'm better than this guy. I do this right, this right, this right. They do this wrong, and this wrong. And I'm not like this publican. And the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. He bowed and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that man, the one that confessed that he was a sinner and said he needed mercy, that man went home justified. Not the other one. Not the one that was religious and so critical. All we have to do is ask for mercy. Amen? And then when God gives us the mercy, show the mercy to somebody else. And you're off to the races. That will just keep circulating and going and going and going. It's absolutely amazing. It's better to give than to receive. You'll discover that. There was a man, he's called the thief on the cross. There was two of them. The one mocked the Lord. Well, this one did it at the beginning, but when he sees who God is on that cross, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Life of sin, life of debauchery, life of evil. Here he is on the cross. Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely amazing. I could go story after story after story, and you're probably familiar with them. But just to put it all together, mercy. There's a psalm, and I'll kind of close with this. There's a psalm, it's 85 in verse 10, and it says, mercy and truth met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That verse is describing the cross. Mercy and truth, righteousness and peace on the cross. What's the truth? The soul that sinneth, it must die. The wages of sin is death. But what about the mercy? What about God's wonderful gift? What about this righteousness and peace of kiss each other? Here's mercy, that Christ died for us. Amen? God commendeth his love toward us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God commended his love toward us so we could be saved. And we have Christ as our Savior. He paid our penalty. That's the greatest picture of mercy in the Scriptures, the cross. He died for you. And if you're saved today, that ought to affect your life. If we say that we love God, we ought to love our brother. And it goes further than that. We ought to love our enemy. We ought to love our neighbor. We ought to pray for those that despitefully use us. Amen? Because that's God's teaching to us. They have kissed each other. In Luke chapter 10, there's the story of the Good Samaritan. And there's a man, and he's walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls among thieves, and they beat him, and they leave him half dead. He's physically alive, he's spiritually dead. That's a picture. And they've stripped him of his raiment, they've robbed him, and they beat him. And there he is, just laying by the side of the road. The priest comes by, keeps on going. The Levite comes by, keeps on going. Religion and the law can't help. But the Good Samaritan comes by, and he sees him, he has compassion on him. That's a heart thing, amen? He has compassion on him, he goes to where he is, and he binds up his wounds, he pours in oil, he clothes him, he puts him on his beast and takes him to an inn and says, take care of him until I come again, and if he owes you any more, I'll pay for it. Wow. And the Bible says in verse 36, Jesus asked this lawyer this question. Which of these three, the Levite, the priest, or the Good Samaritan, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Here it is again. I mean, it's all through the Scriptures. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. That's the one. He that showed mercy on him. And then he says, go and do thou likewise. There's the instruction again. To love mercy. To love mercy. Yeah, I love getting mercy. That's not what it's talking about. It's getting it and giving it and loving to do it. He delighteth in mercy. That's our God. We show mercy with cheerfulness. There may be a time you're merciful to somebody, but you don't want to be. That's not real mercy. Show mercy with cheerfulness. Our lives ought to reflect that. Amen. You know, it's getting tough out there. It's getting hard out there. I did a little time in the hospital. Yeah, that's what I called it. And while I was in the hospital, I met some nurses, and they said, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my husband to be saved? Would you pray that God would protect me, that I wouldn't be sick? And there were people in and out of that room, and I was ministering to them, and God was ministering to me. There was a mercy seat there, and I felt his hand on me, and I just start sharing it. How you doing? Well, and you know how a Christian can share. And then when I did, it's like I had more mercy and more grace, because that's profitable for the Lord. Amen. If you're here and you're saved, be a merciful Christian. Be a merciful Christian. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, all you have to do is ask him. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just, all you have to do is ask for mercy. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, how we thank you for your mercy. We so acknowledge that we're sinners. There's no hiding that. There's no attempt to cover that here today. We're sinners always in need of mercy, always in need of grace. Thank you that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And Lord, for those here today that know you, may you fill their heart with mercy and love that they might share that. And for those that don't know you, that have never received Jesus as Savior, may they do that today. May they cry out for mercy and ask you for a home in heaven. May they pray in their heart to you, "Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I want your forgiveness. I want a home in heaven. Have mercy on me." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.